WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Frank Browning. Daisy Egan is 11 years old. For as long as she can remember, she's played pretend games with her stuffed animals, with her parents, with imaginary creatures. Now, 5 nights and 3 afternoons a week, she walks onto the big stage of the St. James Theater on Broadway and plays the biggest pretend game of her young life, the orphan child Mary Lennox in Mary Frances Hodgson's The Secret Garden. Daisy Egan started acting with her actor father, Richard Egan. Welcome to Fresh Air, Daisy and Richard.
Hello.
Hi, Frank.
Daisy, we've known each other, about 10 years? And I realized I'd be back on the East Coast doing this show, and I wanted to see you on Broadway. I mean, of course, you'd been on Broadway before. Your debut was as young Cosette in Les Misérables. Now you're starring in The Secret Garden. What's it feel like to be a star?
What does it feel like? Mm-hmm. Well, it's very exciting, but sometimes it's hard because I don't get that much sleep. And sometimes some people want to be my friends and then some people don't want to be, because some people just think that since I'm on Broadway, I'm going to be like a little starlet kind of person. Mm-hmm. So they just don't want to get to know me. But then some people, you know, they'll say, oh, will you be my friend? So
you mean just out among the neighbors, among the neighbor kids?
Or? Yeah, and school and everything like that. But all in all, it's pretty exciting, I think.
Had you read The Secret Garden before you did this show?
Oh, yeah. I've read it 5 times or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
I've read it, well, my mother read it to me once, and then I read it again for a book report, and then I read it again, and that's 3, and then I read it again. But I think that's all. Yeah, 4 times.
Real briefly,
yes.
Just like in a few sentences, what's the story of The Secret Garden?
Well, a little orphan girl whose parents died of the cholera goes to live with her Uncle Archibald in Misselthwaite Manor in England. And she finds her cousin, who is supposed to be crippled, and she finds a garden and makes her cousin well again and makes her uncle happy because his wife had died, and she makes him feel happier.
Richard, what's it feel like when people come up and say, oh, you must be Daisy's dad, the father of the star?
Well, it's kind of funny. I have always been Daisy's father, and I will always be Daisy's father. But right now, I seem to be enjoying a kind of mini familial celebrity. Oh, you're Daisy's father! And I am extremely happy and very, very proud. It makes me feel just as big as the sun. I feel wonderful, Frank.
Well, of course, you're an actor, too. You're not on Broadway. I mean, you work in rep companies.
That's right.
And only in the last few years have you returned to acting after, what, almost 20 years away from the stage.
That's right.
Do you ever feel just a little bit jealous?
Of course. I used to say to Daisy, if you get a Broadway production contract before I do, I'll break your spindly little legs. But lo and behold, that came
but
about.
But he didn't.
No, I sure didn't. Yes, I've been through some ups and downs over that. But lately, things have been coming my way in a real way, in a very satisfying way. I was very glad to be able to give Daisy her start and to see her kind of take her own wing. And now for me, I've been working with this repertory company uptown, but more importantly, I've got some of my own work, which I'm about to debut, and Daisy takes a very keen interest in what I'm doing, and I think is just as proud of me as I am of her.
Daisy, you made your theatrical debut with Richard at the Brooklyn Academy of Music just a little over 2 years ago in a version of The Christmas Carol.
Yes.
Did you always have fantasies about acting? Acting seem to be?
Well, first I wanted to be a ballerina, but I saw my dad in Kid Twist, and I thought it was really neat that he could be like another person, so I wanted to try it out. And then, you know, my parents are scanning through backstage and they see this, audition for Tiny Tim's Christmas Carol. So I go and I audition for a very small part, and they ask me if I would read for Tiny Tim. And then my father read with me as Bob Cratchit. And then they called us back about 2 weeks later and they asked us how we would like to be in the show. And I was so overjoyed. I was very excited.
Well, it was pretty exciting, actually.
I was glad to work with my father.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is acting?
What is acting?
Mm-hmm.
Acting is, well, as Jodie Foster puts it, it's pretending. And that's what I like to think of it, because it's more fun to pretend than to act, I think.
What's pretending?
Pretending is when you pretend. It's like when you, you know, you make up something in your head and then you go with it and you don't rehearse it, you just do it. And then acting is sort of the same thing, except usually you have a script to go with and you go with it. But I suppose, I mean, it's sort of the same, but it's in many ways different.
Well, now you have a friend. Maybe he's a pretend friend, Harald.
Yeah.
Who is Harald? And he always comes to your place.
Yes, he's my stuffed rabbit. You know, he's not a real stuffed rabbit. He's like a toy stuffed rabbit, and he goes. Well, if I go on like overnight trips, he's got to come with me. Or I don't sleep.
He'd get lonely?
Yeah.
And you?
I'd get lonely, too.
Hmm. And so he's one of your pretend friends?
Yeah. My father helps me out with conversations with him.
Yes, I would take objection to calling him a pretend friend.
Yeah.
Oh?
Oh, he's quite real. He's a character who, through kind of pretend playing, has taken on almost a life of his own around the house.
Do his voice, Dad.
He's not here.
Oh,
but you can still do his voice.
No, Harald is not here. He's actually in the dressing room at the St. James at the moment.
I see.
Yes.
Now, did he was in the audience for opening night at the Secret
Garden.
Yes,
he was. And he enjoyed it very much.
What did he tell you about it?
He said he loved it and that I was wonderful and that the whole play was great. And that he was tired. was tired because he went to the party and everything. So
what happened at the party?
Oh, nothing much. We danced and we... Oh, and my parents, they celebrated their 23rd anniversary, wedding anniversary. And I got them a cake at Pazzo Bakery. And it was a raspberry chocolate cake with whipped cream toppings. And I went over the mic and I said... I announced it, and we all sang happy anniversary, and then they made their speeches, and then we had cake, and it was delicious.
Well, now, Richard, yours and Andrea's anniversary was actually, I mean, that recalls a fairly famous event.
Well, yes.
I mean, you and she were in Life magazine because of your wedding, weren't
indeed,
you?
Indeed, yes. It's an event which reverberates, and people still remember. We were married first behind the barricaded doors of Fairweather Hall at Columbia University during the student strike in 1968, an event which was participated in by most of the people on campus at the time, just the night before we were all arrested. When Andrea was being escorted to the paddy wagons, everybody sang, "Here Comes the Bride." And then we were married again just a bit later with a formal ceremony for the family. So we're lucky we have two anniversaries. But they were both celebrated by Daisy on the night of the Secret Garden opening party. It was quite nice and really thoughtful.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
My guests are Daisy Egan, star of The Secret Garden, now on Broadway, and her father, actor Richard Egan. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Richard and Daisy Egan. Richard is Daisy's father. They are both actors. Daisy in the current and new Broadway show, The Secret Garden. How much does Daisy's life kind of run the family life right now?
Well, it certainly is a major factor in what we do with our time. You know, when I left the business back in the 60s, I never thought I would see it again. I just really turned my back on the theater. And it's an odd thing to have seen it come to this, that I have a career in the theater, that she has a career in the theater. I mean, we've become a theatrical family, and it's odd, and it sits well with us. I mean, we enjoy it. Yet we, all of us, have the time and the expanse to do what we are doing.
And we always make sure that there's time that at least once a month that we can all get together and, like, have a regular conversation. Because then, like, most, like, you know, children and their families, when the children have a career, you know, with whatever, they usually don't talk, and then their families start to just, like, slow down, and, you know, it's like a slowed-down metabolism. And, you know, you just, like, lose interest in each other, and then
so you still have time to, you know, to play and to sing and to fight and to get on each other's nerves and to have a good time and
yeah. All of those things.
We're a
yes.
regular fam. Well, sort of.
We're planting a garden this spring.
And, yeah, it's a beautiful garden.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
secrets in the garden.
No. Mm. Well, one or two.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Mm. But sometimes you don't know about those until they reveal themselves.
Mm. When you left acting, Richard,
yes.
you for a while you were a carpenter,
yeah.
and then you were an artist,
yeah.
and then you spent a little bit of time reopening the Fun House at Coney Island and organizing or being a part of the Coney Island Hysterical Society.
That's right.
I mean, Coney Island, one might say, is almost a life obsession with you, right?
Yes, in a way, it did become that. I mean, there's a secret that didn't reveal itself. For example, until I was older, I used to spend a lot of time there, having grown up in Brooklyn, with my grandfather. And I, in the early 80s, I had a series of dreams about Coney Island, a very intense series of dreams. And it led me to going back there to see what it was about that place and getting together with some other artists and performers and forming the Coney Island Hysterical Society. And I spent 4 or 5 seasons down there doing a lot of different things. We rejuvenated this old fun house, and then I worked as an agent weight guesser, and I was a barker on a live thrill show. I kept coming back season after season for just a little bit more until I finally got so punchy that I couldn't stand it. It was life perhaps a little bit too much in the fast lane.
But that life also in some ways seems like it has brought you back into the theater, and you've mentioned I guess it's more like a performance theater piece that you're working on and that's come out of the Coney Island experience?
Yes, actually two things in Coney Island have led to my return to the theater. One is that people ask me to tell stories about what it was like to be on the Midway and to be in that life in Coney Island. And there were many, many stories to tell. At the same time...
Stories of what sort of people?
Oh... stories of my encounters with the Coney Island old-timers, a lot of whom are gone now. So all of this has come together for me in a performance piece, as you said, which has grown into a play called Alive on the Inside, which I've been doing at performance spaces and clubs around the city. And I'm about to mount in its fullest version up at Avalon Repertory Theater on Broadway at 105th Street.
So you'll both be on Broadway, though rather different Broadways.
Yes, yes, we will. Hopefully someday we'll be down the street from each other and be able to...
There'll be the two Egan theaters. There'll be the Richard Egan and the Daisy Egan. And we'll both be on 46th Street.
Oh, there's looking ahead.
Yeah. Well, you're not modest in your dreams.
Well, it's all developed really far past, I guess, what we would have dreamed some years ago, Frank.
Daisy.
Yes?
When the curtain has fallen and they've shuffled you off into the car and you're back in Brooklyn,
yeah,
upstairs, in your room, and you're trying to go to sleep, what kind of things come to mind?
Scary things sometimes. I think, oh my gosh, is the show going to run? And sometimes I think, what if it doesn't? What will I do? Will I go back to school? Will I audition for more things? Will I just lose interest? Will I become a regular kid again? And sometimes I think, well, you know, how long is it going to be until I leave the show? And then I wonder what's going to happen then.
So how do you get to sleep at last?
Geez, well, I read. That's a lot of what I do. And I lie there just thinking, and then I try to stay awake until my eyes are so tired that I have to just close them and drift off. And sometimes my mother will tell me a story about the beach or whatever, and my dad has Harold talk to me sometimes. So, and sometimes I'm just so tired I can barely even say goodnight, so I'm just like, goodnight. But
zonked.
Yeah, but a lot of the times I'm lying awake thinking a lot. So I just started drinking like warm milk, but sometimes that doesn't even help because I'm really like tense, like, oh my God, biting on my nails, just thinking and wondering.
You know, I wondered something when I was thinking about the plays you've been in. The three big ones, right? Tiny Tim. You were in Les Miserables.
Yes.
As young Cosette. Mm-hmm. And here you are in The Secret Garden as Mary Lennox. Now, these are kids, for sure, but they all lived a very long time ago in a very different kind of life. It really has nothing to do with the way kids live now. How do you make up their characters? I mean, you get the lines, but how do you find out who they really are?
Well, how do I find out who they really are? Well, I don't know. I just think about it a lot. I make up my own story. And, you know, I'll go through the script and make up, you know, well, what would have happened if this happened? Or what would have happened if he hadn't interrupted the scene? And I just keep on going with that. And, like, sometimes when I'm lying in bed at night, you know, I make up, well, you know, what happened before they showed this scene? What was her life like? And once for school, I wrote the part of young Cosette for my own, like, script for Les Mis. And
you made up your own story.
Yeah, but just for the Cosette part, not for, like, the whole thing.
What kind of stories did you make up about Mary Lennox, the little girl in The Secret Garden? Of course, now, her family was in India, and she was with them, and then the cholera wiped everyone else out besides her. Have you made up stories about Mary Lennox?
Yeah, I've made up, like, well, at the end of the story, my mother, I reach out for her because she's leaving, and she's trying to say, I love you for the first time, and I'm sorry for whatever I've done. But she still can't because she's dead now, and she's tried, and there's, like, I've made up a time where, like, I've seen my mother, you know, I've sort of opened her room door and was looking at her, and she turned her head my way, and she got the most mean look on her face, and I got terrified, and I slammed the door, and I, like, tried to hide, but she, like, found me, and she started yelling at me, and she, like, got really upset, and I got upset, and then I was told I had to be kept away, and my mother didn't want to see me at all, and I was very upset, Everyone tried to coax me, but I'd just start screaming and yelling. But I think deep down, Mary Lennox is a wonderful child, but she had no one to tell her that. So she couldn't find it in herself until Martha comes along saying, "Hey, you know, you're fine. You just gotta look at yourself from a different position."
Had you heard that story before, Richard, about how she developed the character?
Daisy started talking about that with me not long ago, and I asked her where she had been advised to do that. Was it in her acting classes at the Neighborhood Playhouse, or whether her director gave it to her? And she said basically she came up with it by herself.
And what did you say?
Some of us spend hundreds upon hundreds of dollars with technique classes to get to that point. It's amazing. It's just amazing.
You think you'll ever be as good an actor as Daisy, Richard?
I'm glad
she is as good as an
actor. I'm glad I have a role model now, I'll tell you that.
No, no, I'm as good as an actor as he is. That's how I put it.
No, but I insist.
No, I insist.
It is wonderful.
Because I think that, I mean, my father is the one that got me going. I mean, if I didn't go to see his show and if I didn't have him, then I would be totally different. I'd have no idea of who I really am because he's helped me out so much. So, you know, and it would be so hard without him. And he's the one he's always given me like little tips and little, you know, I've asked him, Dad, could you please give me a little acting class? And he'd, you know, say, okay, you're at a train station, and, you know, we'd go from there. And so he's the best father anyone could ever have.
As for my part, Frank, I have to say that I'm in a remarkably lucky position to be able to see someone who brings it from her imaginative life and out of whom it springs naturally, to have that as an inspiration. For me, I mean, I have technique, but really what we all need at the base of it is to be able to play. I mean, that's why they call it a play.
Daisy Egan?
Yes?
Richard Egan?
Oh.
I want to thank you for being on Fresh Air. Daisy Egan is starring at the moment in the Broadway play The Secret Garden. And Richard Egan is also an actor who is working on a number of pieces, and including a performance piece that will be in New York sometime this summer. This is Fresh Air.